You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 16. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you, and thank you, and thank you. So deal with us according to your grace, always. Always for your glory. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our little, taking a little break on looking at David's wonderful illustration, his life tells us how to make it in the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness. And we looked at worship because that's what we're involved in. Now, so as we have gone and tying it together maybe, Israel met God. They didn't worship God in Egypt. They worshiped the gods, if they did that at all. When they went to Mount Sinai, crossing, then they understood God, and they were very awestruck without any recourse, because God was there in fire and brimstone and all of that. And then they had the 40 years in the wilderness. And in the 40 years of the wilderness, cloud by day, fire by night, and the temple was there, the glory was there, God was there. They couldn't see in the tent, etc., but God was there. But we don't find a lot of worship. We find mumbling, murmuring, making a golden calf, among other things. We don't find that. You think you would, but they just weren't tuned in to God. They just didn't pay attention to God. He gave them. How could you miss it? The cloud, the fire, the everything. But it just became normal for them. And the manna and the food and the water, all of that became oh-hum. God owes it to us. He took us out here from Egypt, so he owes us. And so therefore, in the wilderness, they didn't. And so therefore, here's the ark and the temple. We're going to slide through history. And the temple disappears, Nebuchadnezzar. And the glory disappears. And the ark disappears. So there's no temple meeting place, no glory, no God. God's there, but nothing. And they were content with that somewhat in Babylon, although she is. And then they built the little temple under Ezra, under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah all that time. And they built the temple, but there was no ark and no glory. And they did it. They wanted to make sure they had a religious, to show their appreciation, to show their relationship to God. That's God, we appreciate you and we recognize you. So here's our temple. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, then we go through history and we go to our Lord, and our Lord comes, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Herod's temple is there. Temple, no God, no glory. No ark, no. But it's there, a big temple, big, 46 years, I think, in the making of it. So it's a monster. Wow, that's not very good to say about a temple, but it's big. So here we are looking at our Lord. Now, our Lord is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, having said that, in the light of Matthew chapter 16, I'm looking at our Lord, if you can just imagine back then, and here's the disciples around him, all the people around him, but then the disciples in close for 3 1/3 years. And here they are. So now, God, are you going to help them? I am. How are they going to worship you? How are they going to fear you? That's a question. Matthew chapter 16. And you recall, quickly in the light of it all, chapter 16, going if I can, verse 13. Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom do you say? I want to know what do you think? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a pronouncement, a wonderful thing. But, verse 17, And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, you would never know that unless God told you that. You didn't know it. But you guys are with him. With him. He's the Word become flesh. Now, I don't see you worshiping. No. You're God. He can do anything. He's going to feed 15,000, going to feed 4,000 men plus women and children again. He's going to heal thousands and whatever he does and all of it. And where's the worship? Where is the worship? The leper turns around and worships him. Different ones who worship him, but not much. So now, why is that? And so let's go along and give that in John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, picking up, please. Oh, you'll catch it right as you come to the end of John chapter 6. And you'll recall, remember the verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So the whole bunch of them that are following for whatever reasons disappear. He told them a hard thing. You have to understand, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. You have to understand, I'm going to go to the cross and die for you. I'm going to take your humanity in my body to that cross. No, that's a hard thing. And they didn't want to hear it. So, and you can pick that up in case you didn't get that. In verse 60, many therefore of the disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And they, You're a man. How can you tell us such things? So now, verse 67, after the crowd leaves, the disciples all depart, but then there's the 12. Verse 67, Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They're gaining. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So we got that. We're locked in who you are. We're locked in who you are. Now, what about worship? What about you're with him? And he can do anything. He takes care of you 1,000%. And watches over you, just like he does the believing heart. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of that, over to, now, I'm going to go a little further into his death, burial, and resurrection, Matthew chapter 28. And in Matthew chapter 28, and you'll notice, this is after his resurrection, and What are we going to find? Well, verse 8, in the light of everything, context. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Well, you guys never did that before. No, a woman, John 12, poured the ointment over him. She recognized. But you guys didn't do that, no? No, we didn't. But boy, we're doing it now. He's the resurrected Son of God. And that's the body. That's the body. He's there in a wonderful manifestation of his body. And now, and we just did that with a daisy up here, a daisy up here this morning, so you could see it. Each one of those pebbles are a believer. So when the believers gather together, all those pebbles come together. They're supposed to, if you're saved. You bring your pebble. You bring your pebble to church to fit into the flower. And that's the whole point, to show the wonderful flower, the wonderful person of Jesus Christ in all of his beauty. And that's what we're doing. We're supposed to do that. That's what's missing in church and worship and everything. We don't have that. Now, picking up, please, in the light of that, in chapter 8, verse 17. And when they had saw him, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So here they are looking, and they're going to worship God and look to him. Now, remember now, they haven't been saved yet in the fullest sense. They're believers. They've been with him for 3 1/3 years. He died, and they all forsook him. Now they're back to him, and they're going to worship him now. They're going to worship him. Going to bow down the knee, bow down, bend the knee. That's what they're going to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God, you're going to go after the long time, Acts chapter 2. And in Acts chapter 2, you would recall, now remember now, the priest, going back to the tabernacle, going back to the Old Testament Israel, the priest had access into the tabernacle, into the tent, into the temple. They had access into it in a most wonderful way. The people had no access. They never could see the lampstand burning. They could never see the 12 loaves on the table of showbread, which we looked at. They never saw that. All they saw was that tent, the badger skin outside. Oh, that's all they saw. Uncured badger, they didn't clean the skin or anything. They just put it straight on. I think I remember, I won't even tell you, I think it was 6,000 badgers. That's a lot of badgers to make that covering. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, and here's the disciples on the day of Pentecost. What's different? Acts chapter 2, picking up, please, sliding down, verse 2, I guess. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with one another with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, etc. And as you keep reading, what did all the people hear in all those different dialects? They didn't hear gibberish. They heard the wonderful works of God in their own language. The wonderful works of God. We crossed the Red Sea. We did this. God, all those red things. Wow. Now, so having said that, a little bit, keeping that in mind, over to chapter 4. And in chapter 4, you will recall, here's the church again, assembled, the church, the assembled body of believers, and they all were of one accord. And I need to go back to that. I don't want to leave that. Over to chapter 2. I didn't mean to go that fast. Acts chapter 2. May I pick up, please, in verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat, food, with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they're all excited. And that's what, on the day of Pentecost, did you have to tell them about God? No, their heart was full of God. They were full of God's wonderful person. That's why it says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled, command, by the Spirit of God. It's the only way. So, here they are, all excited, one accord, one mind, like the flower we did try to do this morning. All the things must come together, because that's what the assembly does. Now translate it down, chapter 4, and in verse, picking up if I can, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul, verse 32. Neither said any of them of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. So if you were back then with them, now worship. Oh no, not like before. It's different. It's just different. It isn't the same. Nope, not the same. And what were they doing? They were bearing witness to the resurrected life of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing. Hold your finger here, lock it in. Hold your finger over to Romans in chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, remember, Christ identifies with our humanity so that we can identify with his. Otherwise, we're bankrupt. If he just dies on the cross, so he pardoned us. No change. We're dead in sins. Something has to change. And that's why he rose again. Therefore, the cross, resurrection, the gospel. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, immersion, identification into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. As we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, verse 4, we're walking in newness of life. Back over to Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. What were they doing? They were enjoying life. They weren't looking at life out there. They were having life in their heart. Two different things. They weren't seeing God's wondrous person and all, wow! No. They were enjoying God's wonderful person. They had his life, his love, and his lordship. That's what they had. So with their whole different ball game, hang on. Now, so having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, so here we are looking, and remember the priest couldn't go in the tabernacle. Priest could go in the tabernacle. And so did they have to think about the cloud by fire? No, they were right in the middle of it. They went right smack in the middle where it came from, inside that tent. They were there. Wow, they enjoyed that. Wow. Now, here we are, God, Hebrews chapter 10. And picking up in Hebrews chapter 10, if I may. And now remember, God, remember the temple, the tabernacle, had a holy place and the Holy of Holies. That's where the priest could only go on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16 could only go on the Day of Atonement. And he had to have everything covered. And he went into that with blood, to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat and the ark. And then he had to do that, and out he went again. And that's the only time. So the priest had access to that inside there. Now, God, so that was a wonderful thing. Well, we're priests. You know, God has made us priests, kings, priests. He's the king, we're kings. He's the priest of all priests, the prophet of all prophets. So we enjoy everything. Everything the head is, the body enjoys. Everything the head is, the body enjoys it. Now, so here's Hebrews 10, as you know, and look at it that way. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified, set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And therefore, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected, completed, finished forever them that are sanctified. That's God. You did a job for us. That's right. Think of Hebrews. Think of Philippians 1:6. He that hath begun a good work in you is what? He that begins the good work finishes the good work. He finishes it. What are we reading? Verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected, completed forever them that are sanctified. Now, sliding down, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So what do? As believers, we have a wonderful God. Think of all the times we did it, face to face. Face to face. Are in your presence, God? Face to face. That's what it is. It's us. It's us. Now, God, I don't have to find you. You have found me and given your wonderful person and life, so that where am I? I'm able to be in the center of your God the Father. Father, I'm able to be in the center of your Son. A new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And at the same time, Christ in the heart, the hope of glory. A relationship. How close am I going to get, God? No closer. No closer. God, am I going to stand back and bow down? No. You're part of it. You're part of it. The flower, you're part of it. That's what people see, smell, look at. The flower, the God, the Christ. It's all about him. In you. Different. Now, hang on. And in the light of that, and if you keep reading a little bit, verse 22, let us draw near with a heart full assurance of faith, etc. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Don't back down, don't back off. Let us consider one another to provoke to unto love and to good works. And that's where our little verses comes in, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching, judgment. So you roll up your sleeves and say, hey, hold it. It isn't away and loose. No, it's tighter, 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 tighter. You see the day. You are in the presence. It may not come out good. If you were living in the days of Jeremiah could go in the temple in that place, holy place. Not the Holy of Holies, but he could go in there. He could go in there. And a wonderful thing in there. And he had access to it. And he could have gone in in his position. But in the process, he didn't. He didn't go in. He could have, but he didn't. And he'd be all alone. All alone if he did. Because no one else is in there doing it, looking to God. So God, what have you done for us? God, we aren't like them, coming in and out and having access now and then. We have permanent access. Where does the, remember the flower again? Here's the pebble, the little petal of the flower. Each believer is a petal, if they're really saved. And they bring the petals together when they assemble together, and they show the resurrected life of Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And the whole point was to show the wonderful person of Jesus Christ in his body, by his body. You can't show it in the little piece sitting on you. You're saved, but you can't do it that way. You can't do it like the local assembly coming together. That's the only place you can do it. And without it, we've shared that 1,000 times. It isn't going to work. It doesn't mean you aren't saved. It doesn't mean you can't trust God. It doesn't mean God isn't God. It just means you can't show that. And that's what it's about. Now, so we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, over, if you would please, over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, picking up again. So, we're in the body of Christ, wonderful body. And you'll notice it. You'll notice it if I can. Right here in chapter 1. You know this. All you're doing is putting it together in your mind why it is. Why did what I just tried to say, why is it? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And put all things, God the Father, under his feet, that's Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, the assembly, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God's wonderful, wonderful way to give expression, wonderful expression to himself. Now, and therefore you go, chapter 2, you're going to remember great graces upon them. And in chapter 2, picking up, please. I'll read it for the context. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but the gift of God. Not of works, nothing that we do, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Now, God, that's what you did. You made us, given us wonderful, wonderful grace. We're in your body, and we're showing your grace. That's what we're doing. So, worship, oh, yes. But we're seeing it. We're there. We're right there. We're in it. We're smack dab in the middle of the cloud. Like Moses. Think of Moses, if you would. At the top of Mount Sinai, 40 days and nights, no food, no water. Did he have to worship as we understand it? No. He was smack dab in the middle of God. And that's where the believing heart is. And that's what we're trying to understand. So hang on. In the process, God, you're going and helping us understand a little bit in what you're doing. So, in chapter, God, in your wonderful grace and kindness. So you're going to go, and we're to be believers, looking to you, and going forward, trusting you with all our heart, and looking for you, for God's wonderful person and grace to take place. And so as we're doing that, looking to God, trusting God, And we're going to come and we have a fear of God. We have a fear, a healthy fear of God. And what does it mean to have a fear of God? Well, you read it in this morning in Deuteronomy and all of that. And that's what they, that's why they came together. Men, women, children, no one was excluded. Because God is God. They all belong. Same God, same words, same person. And they want to see you worship, and they want to see you worship. So you look at each other, what are you doing? You're honoring God's wonderful person and presence. That's what they see. That's what they're supposed to see. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of Ephesians and all of that, over to chapter 5. And in Ephesians in chapter 5, we're told something else about our relationship to God. And think of the flower again, if you might. Chapter 5, and I'm going to go, if I can, to verse 26. 5 and 26. God, that he might, the Spirit of God, might sanctify, set apart, we just said we're sanctified, set apart, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, God's word, that he might present purpose, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, that's looking at something. You'd say, well, boy, that's looking at the church. And then you slide down and looking and as you're thinking about it. And God, help us some more. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church, the body. And then you say, God, so that it's unquestionable. For we are members, think of 1 Corinthians 12, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's rather, now, we're part of him. Christ has made you part of himself. So how are we going to worship in that sense? We don't in that sense. And that's why, as you turn, you have the word, a word worship, in the New Testament. We looked at it in the light of the resurrection and that, and we looked at it. But it's never used of the church. That word worship is never used. Bow, bend the knee. Why don't you use it, God? How's it going to fit? You're part of me. You're part of me. It doesn't fit. Now, so therefore, here we are looking, God, and we're face to face with you in a most wonderful way, and we're to be showing, as we're looking to you, about fear. Fear. Now, what's fear going to do? Well, fear helps us understand that, God, we're in your presence. And it's a fearsome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's true. But God, for us believers, what is the point, God, that you fear me? That you have a healthy awe, A-W-E, of my awesomeness. I am your creator and your savior and your shepherd. And you trust me. And to put that all in a magnificent capsule, I am your father, and you are my son, in Christ Jesus. Putting it all together. That's where we belong, in the lap of the Father. Wow. That's our privilege. So we don't bow to the Father. We're with him. We're with him in a most wonderful way. Now, and keeping that in mind in the light of all of that, and think of fear, all the different ways that God, you're going to say it, to evidence it. And you're far away, Philippians, and just I could do it differently, but Philippians. And if I can, Philippians in chapter 4, and just look at it that way. What are we doing? We have a healthy, holy, happy respect for God. He's our Father. He's our Lord. He's our life. He's our love, God. So, God, as we look to you and trust you with all our heart, we're close. You can't get closer. You can't get more involved. It's an intimate, person-to-person, face-to-face, face-to-face. That's what it is. The flower all coming together. It's his body. It's something undreamed, impossible, except God did it in his grace. Philippians in chapter 2, and you will remember, in the end of verse 12, I'll read the whole thing. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always served, obeyed, as not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. What are you doing? You're going to be saved tonight, going to be saved in the morning, going to be saved when you go to work, going to be saved when you go to school, when you do whatever you have to do. You're going to do it, the doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. You're going to do whatever you have to do and be saved. You're going to practice being saved. The end of verse 12. With fear and trembling. So when they see your fear of God. You are respecting, you are honoring God, you are relating to God, you are reckoning of your relationship to God, and they know that. That's the testimony of why people got saved. How did Cornelius, etc.? He feared God and his whole house got saved. That's what he did. That's how he, how'd you get all those kids and your servants? I feared God. And they picked it up. They picked up my fear. I feared God. You got saved. Now, so God, you're going to work it out, verse 13, with fear and trembling. That's what we're going to do. Uh-huh, that's what we're going to do. Second Corinthians. Well, yeah, Second Corinthians. And chapter 5. Chapter 6. Second Corinthians in chapter 6. Fear. All over the place, all I'm doing is pointing it out. What is the believer doing as they live? They have a healthy respect for God's wonderful presence all the time. In the thick and thin of it, when everything is good, when everything's lousy, you're looking to God. That's what you're going to do. So here's 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, bringing to a finish line, perfecting holiness. What are we to be? You be holy, for God is holy. Holiness in the fear of God. So what are we doing? Who do you serve? God. Who are you trusting? God. You aren't trusting the government. You aren't trusting religious whatever. You're looking to God. Who's God? He's God. And the minute you, God, it's fear. A healthy respect for who he is. He's not only my Savior and Lord, he's my Father. You see that? And you'll catch that. Uh-huh. Now, so therefore, perfecting holiness and the promises, you don't want to miss them, you're just going to go directly. Verse 16, that what agreement hath the temple of God? This is 6:16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And, 18, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Now, where's that come from? Perfecting fear. You understand the relationship. You aren't related to a cow or some person somewhere, some king, a potentate. You're talking about your relationship to God. That's an awesome thing, your relationship to God. Awesome. Fear. I don't fear. I respect the congressmen and all that, and I do that. But I don't fear them. I don't. You may, but I don't fear them. No, sir. I fear God. I respect them. And I would show that to the judge. I would say, Your Honor. Your Honor in the court. But when it comes to God, that's a whole nother ball game. How are you going to show people that? By your own fear of God, your own your understanding. The more you come to God, the more you learn about God, the more we study about God, the more you get the flowers and all of this in order, you're having a fear of God. And your whole relationship to God is going to change. And you aren't trying to bow the knee before somebody and try to find God. We aren't bowing our knee before God. We're his body. We're his flower. That's who we are. Well, how do we show it? Our fear. Look with me over, if you would, in Ephesians 5. Back over there. And in Ephesians chapter 5, and may I note, just to remind us, in the light of all of these things, of what is the church doing? Well, they're having a healthy fear of God. And so when you come to chapter 5, and in verse 21, directly, what are we doing? We are submitting ourselves one to another in subjection to each other. Who's the boss? God is. God's the boss. He's the boss. And we're all body. We're the body. And your whatever you got a pancreas or something. Oh, no, you may not have. You have a liver. You have to have a liver. You have to have a heart. How's that? And you relate. The whole things are relating. They aren't in conflict. They're relaxed. They're serving each other. Isn't that what your body is doing? The brain is sending the nerve cells and feeding out all the stuff and making decisions all the time. Wow, it's doing it. It's serving. God, we're looking. And it isn't, it's submitting to each other. That's what the body does. In the fear of what? Verse 21. In the fear of God. That's what we're doing. We're doing that in the fear of God. A healthy respect for God. When you drive your car, when you go home, work, school, whatever, that's what you have, a healthy respect for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is going to say it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you're going to recall Paul's testimony and ministry in Corinth. Chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I'm going to tell you about God. Mm-hmm. For I determined, verse 2, not to know anything among you, here's the believers in Corinth, I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, you're brilliant, you have all this. What's the thing you're doing, Paul? I'm showing you and having. Paul, can you outrank us in knowledge, in understanding? Absolutely. You're an apostle. But you aren't coming as an apostle. You're coming to us in God. Look at the next verse. I was with you, verse 3, in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. I was bringing God to you. And that's a holy, holy, heavenly, happy assignment. Wow. That's right. Now, So therefore, that's what you did. Well, was it about your... No, it's about God. About God, a fear of God. What did you need, brethren? The fear of God. Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the holiness, in the perfecting, finishing it out in the fear of God. Working out our own salvation in the fear of God. That's what we're doing. But the whole thing's a fear. 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 A healthy awe of his wonderful awesomeness. And you learn it. You go through the exercise of believing, experiencing, and you become educated, and you are trusting God like you never did, because you understand what God does and what he doesn't do, why he does it and why he doesn't, and you're learning to trust him. Is God quite able to do? Sure. And I know, do another illustration. If you're going to go and say, well, if God, you just show me something. I'm laying in bed tonight, I'm going to look, and I want you to go and open up the ceiling and show me Mars. Do something spectacular, God, and I'll trust you. But God never does that. Oh, it doesn't mean he can't, but he never does that. No, he doesn't. He just shows you what? He's always God. And so whenever everything's going on and everything's all disturbed and in motion, God isn't. God's at peace, quiet. And when you stop and all the noise is there, quiet. In quietness and confidence. Wow. In quietness and confidence should be your strength. Wow. That's what we do. And that's why God's there. So we're trusting him. That's what we're doing. Now, having said that, and Paul did that. Paul in his wonderful, wonderful exercise did all of these things. Over, if you would please, to 1 Peter again. And it's a fear. I'm just driving it home. That's what we're doing. We aren't worshiping. We're part of it. We're part of it. They're going to come in the future. When they come to worship the Lord, are you going to be part of that worship? No. You're his body. When they worship the head, they're bowing down before the body. That's you. That's you. Wow. 1 Peter, remember, be holy. Verse 15, 16, be holy for I am holy, etc. And verse 17 then, for if you call on the Father who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning, remember, as a stranger, an alien, you don't belong here anymore. So that doesn't mean you don't vote, but you don't belong here anymore. Just don't belong. God took you out. And pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's how we live, in a healthy, happy, holy fear of God. And they need to see that. They don't need to see whatever. You can read 25 verses to them. You can play Monopoly for 4 hours with them. But you can't replace when they look at you and me and help us, God help us, and see God. And see God. They see our fear of God. That's what wins them. That's why they get saved. And that's why they don't get saved in part. Because God doesn't need any parents or anybody. God can save a whosoever out of nothing. There's no question. But the parents can be a wonderful testimony to point to God. And that's what they're going to catch. What are they going to catch? Your brilliance in Ezekiel 38? No. They're going to catch your fear of God. They're going to catch your respect of God. That's what they're going to see. You respect God. You don't fight him. You honor him. You honor God. Now, so having said that, over to chapter 3, as you know, and our little word is going to be, again, fear of God. And I pick it up in chapter 14, chapter 3, and in verse 14. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Now, how am I going to do that? Sanctify the Lord God, verse 15, in your heart. Make sure he doesn't get all locked up in the closet. Make sure he has the living room seat and everything around him is clear so you can't miss him. When you come into the living room, there he is. There he is. Wow. Wow. So I'm going to see him. Verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And I'm going to do that. And as I do that, I'm going to go and look to God and trust God and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I'm asking you about Genesis chapter 6. They want to know and say, I have a thought about Genesis 6 and I feel this theologically about this. They're not going to ask that. We think they're going to ask that, and the normal debate, argument, that's what we do religiously. Well, we do that. Then you don't have to do that. No, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to look to God, and in the process, they're looking to see your hope. Christ in you, the Colossians 1, 27, Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory. That's what they see. Christ. How's it going to look at? Well, I'm going to give him a good explanation. I gave him 35 chapters. Good. That's nothing wrong with that. They need to see God. Is there a God actually to trust? Yes, there is. Well, how do we know? You fear him. You respect him. Of all the things in your life, pain and heartache and family and disease and work and home and needs and all kinds of things in your general life. All of that's there. They know all of that. They can identify with all of that. But they can't get a hold of your wonderful fear of God, the wonderful expectancy you have to become that big flower forever. Before God, they don't have that. They don't have that. And that's what they're after. That's what they're looking for. And is the world, is the church giving it to them? No. No, we give them another thing. They need to see the fear of God. Otherwise, we're just religious. We've had them in and out. That's what they do. You know, are you interested in becoming really involved? No, I don't really. I don't want to get involved. And they don't. Oh God, in the light of that, over to 1 John. And appreciate your patience and as we try to look. I just want you to understand that worship and like bowing and bending the knee, we don't do that. And it isn't even, we aren't even asked to do it. We're asked to fear God as his body. And using my spleen. I got a spleen down here somewhere. Here's my spleen down here. And my spleen wants to act up, you know, and says, why do I have to be a spleen? Why can't I be something else? And I say, you have to be a spleen because that's where you belong. You are made a spleen. Oh, that's what you're designed to be a spleen. I can't do without you. Well, I want to be a spleen. Okay. And you want to be that. So in the process, but you can't be that. You have to go and submit. I forgot where I was going. It happens, you know. Do you ever do that? I got so many things in my little brain when I'm doing it. And that's even when I'm writing, trying to write something down. I say, why would I ever write that? Because I had passed it a long time ago, but my pen's still moving. You know. I don't know. What can I tell you? Yeah. Good. So here we are looking. And God, you're going to go, and we have to submit. The spleen has to submit. That's what it has to do in order to be healthy. If it doesn't submit, it's not going to be healthy. It needs to be a healthy spleen to do its wonderful assignment. So therefore, in closing, over to 1 John. And see if it doesn't come together. Here's 1 John. He's going to tell us to be looking for the Lord's return at any moment, but in the process, 1 John chapter 1, going if I can to verse 3. What are you telling us believers, John? You're the last living apostle. Verse 3. That which we have seen, John, Peter, James, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. But you guys have died. You're the last one living. How are we going to have fellowship? We're all one. All one. Peter, James, and John are there, and we're here. But it's only one body. Right now it's a part because we haven't finished the assignment. Have fellowship with us and with my and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. Verse 6, the fellowship. How are we ever going to do it? If we walk in the light, think of all the times we've done it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's all we have to do. We don't have to translate the light. We don't have to make the light be light. We just have to honor God's wonderful word and thank God. So God, my life, my thoughts, my feelings, my fears, my spleen, hold it. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And from head to toe, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses every lousy thought, word, and deed that bumbles your real mind. And you aren't trying to fix everything. You're trying to enjoy the trip. That's what you're trying to do. Because you're never going to fix it all. Your mind is, our mind is lousy. It's an old nature, like the branches we had this morning. It never changes. Nope, but I'm going to look to God. And God, you're going to do that. So as I walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is cleansing us from all sin. And that's how you can walk out of here. That's how you walk out of here. That's how you're going to get home. That's how you're going to go to school or work, walking in the light. And if you practice it, you'll practice the fear of God. Because you're trusting what? You aren't trusting, well, I'm going to do the right thing, and I hope they do the right thing. They may not do the right thing. May not. But you're trusting God, a healthy fear of God, as you do what you do. And as you're trusting the fear of God, it works out. That's what you're doing. So you aren't trying to solve everything. I got a flat tire, and I'm late, and boom, and I take the steering wheel and throw it out the window. No. No, God help me. So, get a flat tire and whatever, and you go and try to fix whatever you have to do. That's what you do. And you work through it as best you can. And as it says, how come the tow truck took 4 hours to get me? How come it took so long? God knows. And you did call. Didn't you call? Did you give them the right address? Did you do that? I did. But somehow, that's an exaggeration. You're there 4 hours. But God would have a reason for that if you're trusting Him. Do you understand that? God would be doing, He's going to do. He won't let it happen. Because you're trusting Him. You're fearing God. That's how all of this translates. It comes into, boom, Very practical, wonderful. I gotta quit. And appreciate your patience and worship. And by the way, heaven's gonna be a wonderful place where zillions of angels are gonna worship God, gonna worship the Lamb of God. And there you are right in the middle. I gotta tell you, I don't know how to explain that. And when we get there, you can ask me. Well, our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you as we try to remind ourselves, God, we need to have a healthy, holy, happy fear of you. God, you are our Lord and our life and our love. But more and better than all of that is you're our Father. And Father, that's what we're trying to get a hold of. You said you'd walk in us and enjoy your wonderful life in Christ, in our heart, as we walk down the corridor of time and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. God, how are we going to even explain it? And be excited about just being wonderfully saved and able to simply enjoy. Help us not to get sidetracked from the simplicity that is in your Son, Christ Jesus. And our God, we're going to thank you in it all, for it all. Amen.